Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.
If Mary had a little lamb, you can bet she'd talk to her about it. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Happy Tuesday and good morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report and for Farm Director Pam Youngke. Another beautiful day on the horizon for us, but some may see a little rain. For South Central Wisconsin, we'll see sunshine and a few afternoon clouds, highs of 82 degrees. Winds will be coming out of the southwest at up to 20 miles per hour, and there's an 18% chance of rain. Ag meteorologist Stu Muck will give us more of those precipitation details coming up. Market advisor John Heinberg joins us this morning after getting a look at the latest crop progress and condition report. But before him, we'll hear from the U.S. Dairy Export Council on the latest federal bill impacting agriculture. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Tuesday.
What better way to celebrate all things agricultural than with a good old country music concert? Farm Tech Fest, Wednesday night, July 13th, just south of Loyal, featuring Madison County, Sawyer Brown, and Joe Nichols. On-site camping available. Get your tickets now at farmtechfest.com. That's farmtechfest.com. A huge thank you to some of the great sponsors, Partners Bank, Rooney Grain, and many more.
BadgerBean.com puts the Wisconsin soybean farmer first, and it's your place to go for the latest soybean news and research from leading industry experts. Simple, easy-to-access resources for the betterment and advancement of a sustainable soybean industry right here in Wisconsin. BadgerBean.com, an invaluable tool constantly updated for Wisconsin soybean farmers. For info and the latest updates, find us on Facebook and visit BadgerBean.com today.
As a proud supporter of the dairy industry, Compeer Financial sends a special thank you to dairy producers during June Dairy Month. Compeer recognizes the dedication it takes to produce safe and nutritious dairy products for our nation and world, and is grateful to all the hardworking farmers and their families. Give your local Compeer team a call at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
We're about 2 weeks out from Farm Technology Days 2022 in Clark County at Rail Acres. Bob Bosol here at the northern end of the world's longest barn, just down the road from the Rail Acres Post Farm. And Pam, the folks are busy putting in this in place, not only at the county level, but also at the state level of Farm Technology Days.
Yeah, you're right, Bob. Fabulous. Farm Bay Pam Youngke at the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. But yeah, we're all going to be heading towards Loyal in just a couple weeks for Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. And let's be honest, this is going to be the first show where Arnie Jennerman is the general manager. There's been all kinds of transitions, different things that had to go on because of the pandemic. But this one, Arnie's on his own. He is familiar with the show, obviously, but this is going to be the first one where he's, shall we say, calling the shots. Had a chance to visit with him at Rail Acres and find out a little bit more about how he's preparing for the big days.
Well, we had 1 year, we didn't have a show at all. And fortunately, the folks in Eau Claire hung in with us for that extra year. That was quite a challenge. We had a good show, and you know, they really helped us get the momentum back. So, and this group here has been, they've been around the horn once before, a number of them. They did the show when it was Clark County once before. So they've been a good group to work with, too. And, you know, there's no doubt, you know, with Claire being a kind of a neighboring county, there's a little competition with trying to, you know, they saw what they did last year. And so they're really a lot of pride here in trying to do a great show. So it's back on a dairy farm, which Dennis, the host farm, is really, really enthusiastic about being a hands-on event. And so this has been a great group to work with. I've learned a lot here. I'm still learning.
Right.
Of course. And I'm sure that goes on forever. So.
Yeah, talk to people, Arnie, about what it's like to have this scope of a show outdoors. There are so many things that are not in your control and so many things that have to be created. Give them a little sense on why this is unique to a lot of their community festivals.
Well, No, this is the only show that travels around the state in the country at this time. All the other shows have fixed sites. So every time we go to a new county, it's a new hay field that this show is located in. So the whole road and traffic issues are unique in every case. Access, motel capacity, all those things are new. So some of those things, you know, there's no perfect site, so you have to adjust and adapt in every case. So that's always an experience. You know, every year, I think the other thing that's really interesting is I look back at the history of Farm Tech Days, too, is every year the farm economy is a bit different. You go from low prices to high prices in terms of crop prices and commodity prices. And so there's always unique challenges in that regard. The last couple of years, just having equipment here at the show has been a challenge with the supply chain issues, and that's ongoing. The ability for us to have equipment to, you know, do the work on the grounds, and then for vendors to have equipment
right
to display at the show has been a challenge. And the other thing that you wouldn't expect is staff. Everybody's hiring, everybody's looking for people. And that's an issue for our vendors, but it's also an issue for the volunteers.
Absolutely.
And the last couple of years, the whole volunteer situation has become more challenging. You know, people have gotten away from it, and so now we got to bring them back to volunteering. And as other events around the country have had those same kind of experiences. So it's always interesting because there's always new things happening.
Have you noticed anything that continues to challenge you aside from those elements, Arnie? There were simple things like supplies even for food. You know, I see your utilities, guys. It's not just about labor. It's sometimes about the lines and the generators and things like that. I mean, we are in a whole different world that you're trying to manage through.
Absolutely. Food is interesting because generally there's some donations of food to the show. And this year, that stuff is really precious and in short supply. So it's hard to go to people and ask to make donations to the show. Thank goodness many of them step up and still do it, but it's got to be a bigger pain in their wallet when they do that and under the current circumstances.
Right.
So, and of course, weather, you know, hopefully we'll have weather like we have today. Probably not quite in July, but weather's always an unknown for this show as well. But I think we'll have a great show here in Clark County this year.
Like you said, they know how to do it by their history, that's for sure. Now, let's talk about where we go from here, Arnie. You and I have had multiple conversations, as you have with your board. You mentioned this is the only show that's still traveling. A lot of conversations focus in on that. Just paint us a short-term picture on where we're going, Arnie, so that people know and understand this is a going concern.
Yes, so next year, in 2023, we're going to go to Baraboo for the show at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Ground site. We have a beautiful facility there, you know, roughly 300 acres. They've been building that up over decades.
Yeah.
Beautiful site, and the interesting location too. And you know, we're only a few miles from the Dells. Baraboo itself has many attractions, so we're going to be experimenting with a fixed site in Baraboo, a non-farm site. We have a lot to offer there as well, though, in terms of the community. We're hoping that more families will make it a family event, come down for a couple days. One of the challenges with the show, frankly, is it's too big for people to see the whole show in one day. And that's been an ongoing concern of our exhibitors, is people get out of their car on one side of the grounds, and by 2 o'clock on a July afternoon, they don't make it to the other side of the grounds. So we're really hoping that in Baraboo, we can have people come and stay in the area for a night and come back to the show for a second day. So we're hoping that we might be able to bend the curve a little bit in that case. The folks at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Grounds have been great to work with, as has the Baraboo community. So we're really looking forward to that show in 23. Then in 24, we're heading back up to the north into Chippewa County. And they're going to put on a great show for us up there as well. They're just getting started, right, looking for a farm, host farm, working on that. But they've got a great organization, and the economic development group is really behind that, Charlie Walker and his staff. So they'll have a great show up there as well in 24. We are doing some discussions around the state for 25, but we're taking applications. So please call if you're interested in the show in 25.
You know, you make an interesting point about the unique pool of people that are coming together anymore these days and recognizing this show. We saw some of it in Eau Claire County, where a lot of food-related companies recognized how important Farm Technology Days is. Now, again, as you point out, back to a traditional show. But tell me a little bit about how these conversations get started. All of a sudden, there's a rediscovery of agriculture, but from a different set of eyes.
So, it's a great question, because, and I think Chippewa County is going to be a great example of that, where the interest in the show really originated in economic development. And when you think about it, for us to have healthy agriculture in Wisconsin, we need other industry in our counties. If you want your kids to come back to the farm, their spouses have to have good job opportunities. So to have healthy agriculture, we need healthy industry in our communities. And so I think we're looking at doing more. And Eau Claire was an example where we had a lot of ag, but we had a lot of associated industries where we had Superior Fresh, we had orchards, and Silver Spring and Hunzinger Farms, the host, was an example of a farm that now is processing food. And, you know, historically, farmers have been price takers. You take what the market gives you. But there's opportunities for us to add value and to be more of a retail operation and get that margin that goes to the middle tier in the distribution channel. So I think there's more opportunity for our show going forward to feature local industry, ag and non-ag, but every, you know, a lot of our industry in this state is tied back to agriculture. So so I think that's really a bright opportunity for us going forward. And I say we're looking at that in Baraboo as well, try to feature the local industry, talking to the nations. So I think there's some great opportunities there to feature what goes on surrounding agriculture in our communities around the state. And we have diverse agriculture in this state. We have some diverse industry as well.
Arnie Jennerman, he is the general manager of Wisconsin Farm Technology Days Incorporated. Like he said, kind of a herky-jerky transition between him and Matt Gluin with the pandemic disrupting shows, but now fully engaged and ready to go when Wisconsin Farm Technology Days begins at Rail Acre Farms just outside of Loyal, July 12th through the 14th. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
We give you the tools, knowledge, and income so you can take your career however far you want to take it. I'm Wynn Davies. W.E. Davies & Sons Remodeling is now hiring carpenters, lead carpenters. Boycott a stale career. We want you to take on a fresh perspective to your path in life. We're a local family business offering services from handyman fixes to living space upgrades. You could be your next team player to deliver stunning, transformative results. Visit wedaviesremodeling.com.
Let's ride bikes!
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 Nothing says summer in Madison like a family bike ride. I'm Andy Q, owner of the Bikemobile. I have four kids and a garage full of bikes, so I get it. That's why I make it easy by fixing all your bikes on the same day in your driveway. The Bikemobile is a mobile bicycle repair van that comes to you at home or at work. Book your appointment today at thebikemobile.com and let's ride bikes.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
So talk, they hear you. You can do it if you try.
Here we use a lot of F words. Food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Another F word for you this morning, forecast. And that's what we've got right now with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, joining us on a Tuesday morning. Now, Stu, I've got the latest crop progress and condition report in front of me, basically outlining that the week leading up to today has been primarily hot and dry. The soil's pretty dry, and that's caused corn, soybean, potato, and winter wheat conditions to fall. So we want a moisture update from you today. I know there may be some sprinkles in the forecast, but what can you tell us?
Well, that chance of rain is going to build in, Stephanie, and I think you're right. Everybody could use a little drink out there, although I've got some neighbors working on a second crop. Hey, you know, they'd probably rather have a dry day, but that's how things tend to work out. And there's a cool front dropping in out of the north. That front in northern Minnesota and North Dakota this morning, a warm front over Lake Michigan, just extending from north of Lake Superior to northern lower Michigan. And there are some sprinkly showers in northwest Wisconsin. Areas like Rice Lake, Ladysmith, even back toward Menominee or River Falls, having a little light rain this morning. It extends back into Minnesota. Could be a little heavier just south of St. Cloud, Minnesota, northwest of the Twin Cities. But we do expect that as low pressure is going to try to move east and that cool front will try to sweep in, that we'll all begin to see a bit of a rain chance. It may develop, of course, this morning as we see it in northwest Wisconsin, and then spread east and southeast a bit more slowly during the day. Some shower or thunderstorm activity at La Crosse could happen as we look toward early afternoon. It may not be until late afternoon or almost evening in far east and southern Wisconsin. But some rain chance then will linger into the nighttime. I'm expecting overall that we talk rain amounts in a tenth to near quarter inch range. There is some possibility east and south of a quarter or possibly a half inch of rain. I wouldn't count on a whole lot, but that front's going to sweep through. It does cool it off a little, not too noticeably for Wednesday. Thursday, the heat returns because the western end of that front would pull back up as a warm front. So that on toward Thursday night and into the day Friday, we'll have another round of rain chance, showers, could be some thunderstorms around. That activity means a little more moisture, at least to wrap up the week. I don't expect it to be a lot from what I've seen so far, a few tenths of an inch, but another rain chance at least does show up by the end of the week. Drier as we head into the weekend for a lot of folks, a long weekend with the holiday, drier and more normal temperature-wise. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
I'm a Wisconsin Farm Bureau member because of the opportunities that Farm Bureau affords its members here in the state of Wisconsin. Member benefits to local leadership and personal and professional development opportunities that you can really take advantage of as a Farm Bureau member. We talk about Farm Bureau and how we help move farmers and agriculturalists forward.
WFBF.com.
You should look them up.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Well, Stu, so far you checked all my boxes. I'd like to hear that chances of rain are primarily in the nighttime for most of Wisconsin and just the right amount, not too much, and that we're going to have a long, dry 4th of July weekend, hopefully.
Well, I don't know that I'd say dry. There could be a little rain chance before it's done as we look toward Monday. But hey, it's only Tuesday of this week. Today we'll have some sun, clouds developing, showers, even thunderstorms. First in western Wisconsin, most likely as we head toward the afternoon, then slowly spreading east and southeast through the afternoon. Temps in the lower 80s today. That's not uncomfortable. Southwest winds at 5 to 15. More likely showers and a few thunderstorms ending from west to east through the night. Like I've said, about a tenth to a quarter, maybe up to a half with a thunderstorm. Upper 50s and low 60s overnight. Southwest winds at 5 to 10. Sunny on Wednesday. Not too bad. A lot of mid-80s. Could be an upper 80 here or there. North winds become southeast in the day at 5. Even Wednesday night, some rain may develop across. More likely Thursday, mostly sunny and hot. Upper 80s with strong southwest winds gusting up near 20 and 30, Stephanie. Some rain Thursday night taking us into Friday.
and then we dry it out for the weekend. So a couple of rain chances to watch. If you're making hay, it might be a little more difficult. We don't have a lot of time in between those two chances.
And as you alluded, Stu, Wisconsin weather can change on a dime.
Oh, it sure can. So you have to watch all the players all the time.
All right. Well, when you can get more of us, our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, again here tomorrow. Thanks, Stu, for coming along with us this morning, and I'll catch you back here same time tomorrow. In the meantime, let us know how much rain you're getting. 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
When they love you enough to tell you you need a breath mint, that's family. At Mad City Moving, we're locally owned and family run. We're not afraid to tell each other the truth and make sure every job is done right. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the family knows best move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
That squeal you're hearing while you come to a stop, that's your brakes crying for help. At Tom's Auto Center, we offer 5-star brake repair on all makes and models. Stop by for a brake fluid and brake inspection. If your brakes are talking to you or screaming for help, we'll diagnose it and give you a written estimate.
We want you to be able to trust your brakes.
Tom's Auto Center. We're the getter fix, getter done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
Hi, it's Preston from Window World. I hear too many stories of people being held hostage through a 3-hour window appointment and pressured to sign now for a project that's worth a small fortune. At Window World, we take as much or as little time as you have and provide a clear, easy-to-read estimate right on the spot. Don't think your window project is out of reach because some companies ruined your experience. Call the best value in your area.
Window World.
Call Window World. You'll be glad you did.
You might want a new kitchen to upgrade the countertops, add soft-close doors and drawers, or improve on the original layout with new wall placement. Actuate Improvement will make your kitchen more livable, all the while helping you increase the value of your entire home.
Actuate Improvement is a full-service design and remodeling company specializing in kitchens, baths, and basements. Let's get the conversation started with a complimentary estimate, consultation, and suggestions. ActuateLLC.com. Design, create, actuate.
Love the look by creating your floors with DIY and budget-friendly flooring from Wiseway. With Wiseway Flooring's direction, you'll only need to be moderately handy to accomplish brand new floors.
I'm Mike Yenser at Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Econimog.
See how our do-it-yourself products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
If you talk and they will hear you.
Oh, no.
Every single time.
Oh, we're getting killed.
Yeah, well, Kyle's not here.
How come?
Kicked off the team. Didn't Tim tell you? Kyle and some other kids got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Come on, it's a first offense, right?
That we know of. But why should that matter? He knew not to drink. I've made it clear to Matt, that's what we expect from him. What have you said to Tim?
Nothing really. You know, a lot of kids try it at this age, so.
Yeah, well, a lot of kids don't try it too. I'm not saying that Matt's gonna be this perfect kid, but if I don't tell him what we expect and why he shouldn't drink, how's he gonna know?
You think kids that age really listen?
They never admit it, Bill, but they hear more than you think.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with kids about underage drinking, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
It's the Bergstrom June 3000 Humane Society Challenge. Help us help the local animal shelters and donate $300,000 to the Humane Societies in our communities. For every vehicle that you purchase in June, Bergstrom Automotive will contribute $100 to the surgery center at the Humane Society in your area. During the Bergstrom June 3000 Challenge, shop from the largest selection of Chevy trucks and SUVs in Wisconsin, all with Bergstrom's negotiation-free upfront pricing, including our exclusive 7-day lowest price protection guarantee and 7-day money-back guarantee. Choose a vehicle that's in stock, reserve one that's on the way, or order one just the way you want it. Help us donate $300,000 and secure the equipment and medicine to get these animals the care that they need. Find new roads in a new Chevrolet. Stop in or shop and purchase at BergstromChevrolet.com. Let's take care of the animals together.
Because of you, someone gets to go home instead of working a double. Because of you, call lights will be answered a little bit faster. Because you are the Bright Star in that facility. Bright Star Medical Staffing is looking for caregivers and nurses. Bright Star believes providing the highest quality temporary staff means better care. It's the reason you got into healthcare in the first place. Be the Bright Star in someone's life. Work with Bright Star. Apply today at brightstarjobs.com.
The Seattle Mariners and the Los Angeles Angels. What a brawl. This was one of the best ones we've seen in quite some time, and many layers to this onion.
Lots of it, layers.
I'm going to hit play on this, and I want you to take a listen to the broadcast, and then we're going to kind of tell you what happened here. So here you go. Here is what led to the brawl.
Times, and he has pitched out of the pen in Salt Lake.
And he just hit Winker, Erica, with the first pitch. Scott Service is calling for him to be thrown out of the game.
There we go.
And Winker's trying to get towards Phil Nevin.
Oh, yeah. The ump's even holding him back. The ump's like trying his hardest to hold him back.
And the benches are clear. And Justin Upton comes in.
Chops, punches, throwing. Multiple dudes throwing haymakers. It's a fight. All right. We kind of subdued a little bit.
Remember the last time we have seen one of these with the Angels and an opposing team.
And here we go again, baby.
It is not done.
Oh, yeah, we got fights breaking all over the place. Oh, there's the double birds. Mariners and the double birds of the Angels fans.
I saw Iglesias.
Iglesias comes out.
Yeah, they were teammates, remember, in Cincinnati.
And here we go. Iglesias comes out with a full pack of, what is that, water bottles? Sun seeds?
That is the furthest shot put of sunflower seeds in history.
So, Rowdy, Iglesias, and tell everyone listening what Iglesias did with those sunflowers.
So, obviously, this is a thing going back and forth between the Angels and the Mariners, where they've been, from what I gathered, kind of hitting each other back and forth, kind of like the Brewers and the Cubs the last few
Wilson
years.
Contreras is dumbass.
Where it would be like one guy gets hit, and then the other team's going to go get their guy. Yeah. So, they had this kid from AAA come up, and it was in the second inning. And he hits Jesse Winker. Winker freaks out. And not only, he doesn't go at the kid.
No,
he
not
starts
the pitcher,
walking
to the
directly
bench.
At the dugout for the Angels. And that's when he like tries to do the swim move, and then people come out and start running.
The ump is like trying to tackle him.
But if you watch, when Winker kind of sidesteps and gets really close to that Angels dugout as he's making his way over there, one of the first guys that comes up and from a different angle slaps Jesse Winker.
Slaps him.
Anthony Rendon, who is one of the higher paid guys on the Angels, and by the way, just had reconstructive wrist surgery.
He said, what do the five fingers say to the face, Rowdy?
This guy is in like a cast because he just had wrist surgery, slapping him with his off hand. And then, like they said, Iglesias and Winker were teammates in Cincinnati. They were two of the guys in the last couple of years that got shipped out of there when Cincinnati was rebuilding.
Yeah.
Why Iglesias is freaking out so much that he grabs your own stuff from your own dugout.
His own stuff.
And throws the sunflower seeds.
Like a giant pallet. It's not a pallet, but it's like a big cardboard.
He knocked over like their little like water jug, like their cooler. Like why he was going so ballistic, I don't get.
He lost his mind.
But he's the closer. The only reason he's in the dugout is because his ass hadn't made it down to the bullpen yet.
Yeah.
It was only the second inning. So normally he should have been in the bullpen, and I bet the guys around him are like, dude, why are you freaking out and throwing all of our crap onto the field?
I wanted to chew those sunflower seeds. You just wasted them all.
Then after the scuffle got over, because this was a scuffle that went for a while.
There's two. It broke out twice.
You had guys literally, there were actual punches thrown. People were getting hit in the ribs, like I said. There was multiple men that I saw slapping other men.
Men don't slap men.
I don't get it.
What,
Juwan Howard
there?
If I'm that pissed off at you, Ebo,
I'm going to punch
that
you.
We're going to fight, I'm going to punch you so hard your ancestors would feel it. Yeah. I'm not going to slap you.
No, I'm not slapping you. I'm punching through your face.
I don't get that, but it carried over. But then after the fact,
18 minutes, Rowdy, it was
they
got
to restart the game, right?
Yeah.
Well, all the sunflower seeds that he threw out there spilled all over the field. You had like three or four Angel players that had to go onto the field and start picking up all the sunflower seeds so that they could start again.
Yeah, it was 18 minutes delayed. It was literally like a giant. It was like a big. I don't even know how many sunflower packets of sunflower seeds. There's probably like 20 sunflower seed packets.
But why did he throw their stuff on the field in anger?
Threw them all over the place. And then the Angel players had to go clean it up for him.
Like
scooping up sunflower seeds.
I like a good blow up, right? Don't get me wrong. Like if you were hosed by the umpire and then the guy starts freaking out and, you know, throwing stuff on the field because they're going back and forth with the umpire.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for tuning in with me. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. Today we're talking about a new bill signed into law this month, the Ocean Shipping Act. The goal is to help fix supply chains and ease shipping backlogs. The bill essentially aims to level the playing field for American farmers and lower costs for consumers. Here to talk more about it is Krista Hardin. She's the CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Krista, first paint the picture for us. What has the dairy supply chain looked like over the past few years?
Well, Stephanie, it's been tough. I'll tell you, our farmers are the most efficient and productive in the world, and we have great products, and they're in demand, and yet we can't get them and have not been able to get them at the rate that we should be to our customers around the globe. Our shipping system has been very frustrating over the last couple of years. We get product to the port finally, and yet the ships come in from different parts of the world, mainly Southeast Asia, and it makes more sense for them, unfortunately, to turn around and leave empty once they've unloaded instead of waiting to load great dairy products and other agricultural products. So just getting our supply to customer has been very, very difficult. We believe we've estimated that we've lost $1.5 billion in increased costs, as well as lost markets. So this is such a relief to have, a bill signed into law, a bipartisan bill supported in the House and the Senate by Republicans and Democrats, signed by President Biden literally just, an hour ago, to help alleviate some of these problems.
And why don't you break down for us, Krista, what the Ocean Shipping Act does for dairy, specifically Wisconsin producers?
Well, it certainly will help Wisconsin producers. They produce some of our very best products, dairy products. There's no doubt about it. And so this bill will actually give the Federal Maritime Commission, which is a federal agency, a lot more authority than they've had in the past to be able to address these issues. It's a small agency, one a lot of folks don't know a lot about, and it really hadn't had the teeth to really make a difference to addressing these problems. So we'll be able to deal with some of these shippers who have not been treating dairy and dairy products properly, we believe, and give them more authority to make sure the system is actually working. And there's two-way trade, not just imports coming in better, but also going out with our product.
What's the timeline? When are we going to start seeing fixes? When are we going to start seeing the changes of this bill take place?
Well, that's a great question, and we certainly want to continue to push the agency to get this implemented as quickly as possible. The chair of that commission was at the bill signing along with myself and others in our industry like Jill Mulhern, and we made it clear to the commissioner and his commissioners that we need this implemented as soon as possible. We've been waiting patiently, or maybe impatiently, I might say, really, for these fixes, for these solutions. And we need them to act promptly to get them implemented.
Will this solve all of the supply chain issues that dairy faces? Is this the one-stop solution, or is there more that U.S. Export Council is vying to get done?
Well, I wish it was just, the one answer, but unfortunately it's not that simple. We have different and many other vulnerabilities in our system. You see that in rail. You see it in trucking, a little bit of relief in trucking with some of the truckers coming back online. Many left the business during the pandemic when they didn't have jobs. They're coming back to their trucks, thank goodness. but we're having a lot of trouble with rail as well. So it's, you know, it's multiple steps along this journey to get our product out of the country, and we need all systems working together and working as positively as we can to get this product moving. So we're talking to counterparts also in the rail industry as well and their regulatory bodies to try to make sure that we eliminate and alleviate these other bottlenecks.
Now, there's things that you can't control. We can't control the weather.
Right.
We can't control the Russia-Ukraine situation. So what does it take to help a supply chain get through some of those issues?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. We're really dealing with a multifaceted problem. The war in Ukraine really just exacerbated an already stretched supply system, which is causing even, you know, the problems that we're all suffering today. I think working together, frankly, what we saw with Capitol Hill coming together, both bills passed with great support on both sides of the aisle. The president signed it as soon as he got it to his desk. That's what we need more of. We need folks working together, working for solutions. And you're right, there's some things we cannot control, but we should be working together to eliminate the problems that we can and be working together for solutions.
And Crystal, while I've got you on the phone, you're no stranger to farm bills. You worked on farm bills at your time at USDA and then in other areas of the industry. But now with U.S. Dairy Export Council, walk me through what's at top of mind for you as we get into these 2023 farm bill discussions.
Well, you know, because of the nature of my current position, I really do focus on trade. And there is a trade title in that farm bill. And we are very dependent on some of the programs that are authorized in that bill. We want to make sure that they are in there. I'd like to see them doubled, frankly, the Foreign Development Program, MAP program, Market Access Program is another one. We'd love to see additional funding and authorities for those programs to help leverage farmers' dollars. That would be very important. Making sure that we find every opportunity to ease trade, to make it more attainable, make it more accessible. I am just convinced that, you know, the future is so bright for dairy, and one of the reasons is exports, frankly. Again, our farmers are efficient, they're productive, the world wants and needs our products, so let's make sure they have all the tools to be able to export, and I believe the Farm Bill can be one of those tools to make sure we're setting the stage for farmers to take advantage of it.
Krista Harden along with us, the CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Stay tuned for markets and market advisor John Heinberg up next.
When hot weather strikes, cattle are stressed. Feed intake decreases and milk production drops. Summer heat may also impact the performance of your herd's reproductive program. Protect your bottom line this summer. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to the TMR and keep your livestock hydrated, milk production up, and breeding program in check. Add Bovine Gold Light to your operation today. Find BioVet online at bio-vet.com. Bio-vet.com. You love your home. It's full of memories from the past and even more memories to be made. When you're ready to spruce it up, contact AF Construction. AF Construction will talk to you about your addition ideas, like a relaxing three-season sunroom or expanded living space. AF Construction, your local hands-on remodeling contractor, offering line item estimates and eye-popping results. For your free consultation, visit afconstructionllc.com. Get ready for a remarkable new look.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller Milk Receiver Pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
With temperatures creeping into the upper 80s this week, you're going to want to be careful while you're outside working. Our own Allison Lund gives us an update with Ready Wisconsin on how to stay safe in heat.
I spoke with Andrew Beckett, Public Information Officer for Wisconsin Emergency Management in the Ready Wisconsin campaign. He outlines the effects of high temperatures in the state.
Well, obviously, anytime the temperature climbs like this, we have serious concerns about people basically exposing themselves to these temperatures and potentially becoming ill or suffering life-threatening complications due to heat illness. You know, things like heat stroke or heat exhaustion can be extremely dangerous for people. And we really encourage people to, you know, limit their time outdoors in direct sunlight, make sure they're drinking plenty of fluids, and they're watching for signs of illness, things like a extremely high body temperature, a red-hot, dry skin without sweating, a strong, rapid pulse, and if they start to feel dizzy or confused, or if somebody they're with lose consciousness, they need to know to take action quickly and call 911.
So for some people that have to spend all day outside, such as farmers, what are some things that they can do to combat the effects of the heat?
First thing is, you know, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, but also maintain a schedule. You know, make sure that you are getting frequent breaks in a shaded, cooler area, drinking plenty of fluids, and not working too hard to overexert yourself. I know that's not always possible, especially when it comes to work, hard work outside. But you want to make sure that you're setting your pace at something that's preventing you from feeling too many ill effects from the temperature.
Now, if we look ahead and see a heat wave coming up, are there ways that we can prepare ahead of time to help us better acclimate to that weather?
Well, we encourage people to make sure they're paying attention to the forecast throughout the year, but especially during the summer months with the heat. You know, if you see that there is one of those days coming where the heat index is going to be extremely high, you're expecting, you know, these clear, very sunny conditions, you know, adjust your work to reflect that. Make sure that you are taking precautions and identifying the needs within your schedule to stay safe ahead of time.
Andrew Beckett, Public Information Officer for Wisconsin Emergency Management in the Ready Wisconsin campaign, with a look at how you can stay safe in the high temperatures this summer. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Allison Lund.
And now we'll take a look at our markets on a Tuesday morning. From Chicago, cash corn is up 10 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up 9 and 3 quarters, trading at 662 and 3 quarters. Cash beans are up 16 and 3 quarters. November new crop soybeans up 19 and a half cents at 1452 and a quarter. And wheat is trading at 925 and 3 quarters, up 21 and 3 quarters. We've got market advisor John Heinberg up next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau helps our organization advocate for agriculture by putting us at the table with the right individuals. I've heard a lot of times that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu when it comes to ag policy. We need people to help us make the right connections, get in front of the right people and policymakers that are affecting decisions that impact agriculture.
WFBF.com.
You should look them up.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture. Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
You're in the construction business, you love what you do, and you're good at it, but traveling all over the state for one job here and there is getting old. When you join the crew at SNR Remodeling, you're home sweet home every night because the jobs are local. No nights, no weekends, more time for family, and there's plenty of work so you can stay ahead financially. SNR Remodeling. Apply online at snrremodeling.net.
SNR Remodeling.
Let's ride bikes.
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 If your bicycle is broken and you've got big things to do, just schedule an appointment, have the bike shop come to you. If you're a bike to worker or a super busy mom, you're just a couple clicks away at thebikemobile.com.
Avoid the hassle of taking your bike to the shop and have the bike shop come to you. Visit thebikemobile.com and let's ride bikes.
Hang on to your tractors. Here's another update. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Welcome back as we round out a Tuesday morning. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend is on the line with us this morning. And John, we've just come off the latest crop progress and condition report from USDA. Now, corn, soybeans, potatoes, and winter wheat condition fell in Wisconsin by about 3 to 4 percentage points. USDA says this is primarily due to dry weather. But John, overall, crop ratings are giving the market a little boost this morning, huh?
at least on the overnight session here too. We've got a couple other things coming into play, but you know, again, we saw corn conditions slip a little bit below expectations nationally. We're sitting around 67%, good to excellent. The market kind of thought we would hold in there a little close to that 70 window. You know, really watching what's going on in the eastern corn belt. That seems to be the area that had the most impact. Indiana was down almost 14% week over week, and just seeing some dry impacts there, like you're talking about here also in Wisconsin, and talking to some of our producers, you know, either you're in it or not in terms of the marine side of things here. So that's something to think, given a little bit of boost in the market. We're seeing the same thing also in the soybean side of the equations, went to 65% good to excellent, but again, a little bit below expectations. And we actually had a pretty good move in the bean market yesterday, so we get a little bit more follow through. You know, some of this also maybe just tied to the fact, you know, this market really had a pretty hard sell off. We hit an area that we could hold yesterday around 650 on that December corn. We seemed to find some buyers there. Soybeans went down and poked at the $14 handle on November beans, and we seemed to find some buyers there. So maybe we got some natural floors. I'd be pretty concerned if prices broke back through those levels. But we obviously got some big things coming up this week with this USDA report.
Oh, yeah. We can preview that right away, John. That's where your eyes are, the USDA report coming out on Thursday. How is the grain stocks and planted acreage report going to shake things up? What are you predicting?
Well, for the month of June, or for the reports during the course of the year, the June report is probably the most volatile and brings the most price movement because it sets the goalpost for the summer in terms of where crop production is going to be for 2022. And at the same time, it kind of puts the final picture in terms of what's left for the old crop supplies. Now, the number that the media and everybody's talking about will be the acre number. We expect to see corn acres come up slightly from those margin tensions. We expect to see soybean acres come down slightly, and you know, because of some of the planting issues that we saw out there, especially in the northern plains. So you know, those numbers might be fairly well priced in. I'm kind of curious what's going to happen with the grain stock side of things. We have a very, very strong cash market for both corn and soybeans right now. Some of that is tied to the demand and trying to keep product moving. The other side of it is that maybe the supplies just aren't there. So you know, this is one of those reports when we start talking those grain stocks, sometimes they'll go back into previous reports. They'll either look at the January or the September report, they'll shave some bushels out of the pile, and that could be a real source of volatility. So those will be the numbers we'll be kind of watching, and barring some major surprises on the acres, that green stock number could be the one that could really move this market around. And just like I said, because of the way the cash market's acting, the strength of basis across the Midwest kind of makes you wonder maybe if something's not up there. So that might be the key number to watch, as those green stock totals, you know, overall.
We'll certainly be looking forward to that. And John, another market pressure for our commodity markets, not related to weather, but an upcoming recession, or at least chatter about an upcoming recession. Why don't you walk us through how that plays a role in the marketplace?
You know, over the last handful of weeks here, last couple of weeks especially, we've seen some real pressure across the commodity space as the market's starting to get a little bit more concerned about a potential recession with the U.S. economy or the global economy in general. It started with the crude oil market. We saw that drop well off its highs. That obviously led into the grain sector. You know, we've seen the cattle market and hog markets kind of flatten out here, or struggle to probably get pushed through the things a little bit more. You know, then we got some of the outlier markets that maybe you don't think about. You know, the cotton market's lost almost 30% of its value since its highs. In fact, about 25% in the last week and a half. You know, again, those are recessionary type plays. If you go back to the last recession we had, 2008, we saw commodity prices tumble at the same time that we were dealing with things because, A, we're worried about the consumer. We're worried about the demand side of the equation. And then, B, where's the money go? If money starts thinking of risk-off mentality, things start moving out of markets. They take profits off of winners to protect themselves. And the commodity space has been a spot where these funds and the managed money has had some good value. You know, even with this pullback, if you bought December corn and held it all the way back from the Christmas window, you're still profitable in those trades. So that was something that's a little bit concerning. I think it was part of the sell-off we had last week. Was just the pure fact that managed money and the money flow is a little concerned about the economy, and they pulled some money to the sidelines.
Yeah, and John, in the meantime, American consumers still faced with inflation, American consumers and producers. Just want to touch base on the recent Farm Bureau Market Basket survey. It said your average summer cookout has gone up about $10 from last year, 17%. and they point the finger at the ongoing war in Ukraine. John, what can you tell us as far as, you know, what's still going on there and how is that still impacting our markets?
You know, the inflation side of things comes in play in terms of the consumer dollar, and that affects a lot of the different commodities, really probably in the livestock space more. You know, as the dollar gets a little bit tighter for the consumer to spend, they start staying away from things like beef and the expensive cuts of meats. You know, so that's part of what's in play there. You know, the inflation story is going to be something that's going to be in and out of this market. You know, obviously with prices coming down now, we're thinking maybe we're losing a little of that inflation steam, so we'll have to see how that comes to play. Last thing for producers, you know, big, just keep an eye on prices. You got good value out there. We saw how fast things can fall apart. Just stay active in your marketing game. Take advantage of that value when the opportunities are there.
Now's the perfect time to start planning your paint projects. Blaine's Farm and Fleet is your one-stop shop for all kinds of painting needs, from brushes, rollers, and paint trays to drop cloths, ladders, you name it. Shop great prices in-store or online at farmandfleet.com.